Hello there. You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Welcome to How to Tour Italy with your host, Anthony Capozzoli. Anthony's passion for Italy is contagious. His dream is to bring Italy to life for people everywhere and to help them embrace the wonderful Italian lifestyle at home. Now, with How to Tour Italy, let's welcome travel expert, guidebook author, photographer, and radio host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the How to Tour Italy radio show. Thank you very much for listening. We've got a great show packed into for you today. We're going to start the segment with how to use the trains in Italy with myself. And one of my guests is actually here with me in the booth. I'll introduce her in a moment and him. And we'll have Chris Cadietto on the line here in a moment. We're having some technical difficulties making a good connection here, but he'll be with us from iKangaroo to share his expertise on using the trains. We also have Mr. Jonathan Goldsmith of Spacca Napoli, one of the finest pizzerias, in my opinion, outside of Italy, here, right here, nestled in Chicago at 1769 West Sunnyside Avenue. You can check out his website at Spacca Napoli Pizzeria, and I'll get to the spelling of that a little later. Let me welcome my wonderful and gracious guest, my aunt Judy Pacheba, formerly known as Judy Peratori. How are you?
I'm fine, Tony. How are you? Thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure. And my aunt is here to talk about a couple things. Well, first, in the last segment, we'll be talking specifically about Someone's in the Kitchen, her wonderful business where you can buy all the things you need to be a home chef, and better yet, learn how to do so with all of the wonderful classes and sessions that they are able to teach there. And I have been actually blessed to teach a couple segments on how to make martinis and a few other wonderful Italian dishes. Before I was a big radio star, I was a bartender, so got a lot of things going for me, don't I? Well, with that, as soon as we'll be able to get Chris patched in, and I think he's here with us now. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great, Anthony. How are you?
I'm good. How's Paris?
Paris is great. It's been great. What last school?
Nice, dude. Well, we're going to dive in here to kind of the first segment, and I'm going to do a little bit of an overview on how to use the trains, because I think that when traveling to Italy, that's one of the things, at least for me and most of the people that go there, that's the probably the easiest and best means of transportation, unless you want to rent a car. Like me, I think the trains are a good way to go because you can enjoy the ride, see the sights in the countryside and throughout all of the wonderful cities that you're traveling. But there are a couple of, I guess, tips and tricks that people should be aware of. And I think getting started with the trains is kind of planning out your trip from start to finish. And you don't have to be painfully specific, but I think you do have to map out the number of days you're going to be visiting Italy. And then you have to decide what your travel days are going to be. So if you start out in Rome and you're going to be there for 3 days, then on the fourth day in the morning, that's a travel day. So you're going to be off to Florence. And then you're going to have your 3 or 4 days in Florence. And then after that, you're off to Milan to get an exchange to head over to Venice. So you've got to kind of plan out what you're going to be doing in terms of travel itinerary. And then once you do that, you have to be sure to make sure that your reservations for the museums and things time up, because some of the more popular museums are hard to get into, especially in the busy season. So you have to make sure that not only do your days for train travel line up well, but the museums you're going to be visiting aren't overlapping when you should be on the train. And that's an important tip. So once you map out your whole itinerary, then you can go ahead and buy the number of days for the rail pass that you might need. If you're there for 2 weeks, you're probably going to need 4 days in a rail pass, maybe five. But don't fear if you decide to take kind of a sidetrack or an additional train trip and you don't want to burn a day on your rail pass, you can simply buy a pass for the day at the train station or a direct line ticket. And Chris is going to talk to us a little bit about how to do that on one of the kiosks that are now available at the major train stations. In fact, I would say, would you agree, Chris, that not only in Milan and Naples and in Venice and Florence and things, but those kiosks are relatively available at even the smaller stations throughout Italy?
Yeah, they are. And they're great, too, because a lot of times people get overwhelmed by the long wait in line because for whatever reason, people insist on getting in those lines. And these kiosks are set up, and they either take cash or they take credit cards. And the great thing about them is that you just walk up to them, stick your credit card in there. Remember to take your credit card out because for whatever reason, they're a little bit older. And I've actually had a story of where I found someone else's credit card. I gave it to the police and they didn't arrest me, but they definitely questioning, thinking that I stole a credit card. So get your credit card back and, it'll take you through the prompts. It'll print out your ticket and then you're good to go. So that will take you a good 5 minutes, and waiting in line, frustrated, and in front of whoever doing whatever,
right,
however many questions they have, can take as much as half an hour, 45 minutes, which if you're on a tight schedule, you don't really want to mess around with that. For the bigger cities.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Smaller cities like Siena and whatnot, it's not that much of a mission.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, in the lines, I mean, you could wait an hour and a half in one line, and they'll tell you when you get up to the window that, oh, I'm sorry, this is the wrong line. So you got to start over, and you know, half the time you don't even know why, but that is the case. But I agree. I think, and real quick, actually, before I get into the other kind of components about the train, once you get your pass from the kiosk, do you then need to stamp it at the yellow box at the top of the rail line?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that is one thing that must be done every time. It's, here in Italy, it's one of those things where you kind of always want to tempt fate because the ticket checkers don't always come around.
Right.
After you've spent 75 euro for a train ticket from Rome to Milan and the ticket taker never comes around, you kind of feel like you were ripped off. However, if they do come around, they will make you get out at the next stop, and they have a railway police, and you can get arrested there or at least fined, and it's one of those hassles that you want to make sure you avoid. And it's easy enough. Before you get on the train, there are a series of yellow boxes that you stamp your ticket, and if they don't have them, and if you can't find one or if you're in a rush, take a pen and make sure that before you get on the train that you write down the date, sign it.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, I'll get into a little bit of the details about, you know, how to manage being in the train station and some things to look out for. And then I've got a couple of funny stories. At least I think they're funny. Some stories about some traveling experiences. In fact, this last trip to Italy with Kristen, my girlfriend and I, we ran into a couple of interesting things that you just have to kind of roll with the punches a little bit. So I'll talk a little bit about that. But well, like I said, while planning your trip, you kind of write out where you're going to be and how long you're going to be in these cities, then pick the number of days you need for your rail pass. Then you can go online and buy your tickets either from RailEurope.com or Eurorail.com, and you get your Euro pass that way. And they've got not just Italy or single country passes. They've got multi-country passes and multi-day passes, and you won't run out of options. And they make it very, very, very easy to decide, you know, what option is the best for you. And there's some savers if you buy in groups and different things. So make sure you look at all the options and spend a little time on there so you don't no need to rush into it. One thing you should look out for, I think, traveling to Italy especially, is that they don't always update the train schedule, meaning the feed for these two major sites sometimes doesn't match what's actually happening on the rails until about 3 months before your trip. They're usually around, you know, I figure anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks out, you'll know exactly what trains will be available and which ones you can jump on to get from, you know, A to B. And there are some trains, when you get the guide in the mail after you've purchased your rail pass, when you look at the guide, you can decide, you start out with the departure city. So let's say I want to go from Rome to Florence. When you pick up Rome and you look at the Rome column, and it lists all of the stops, and one of the stops obviously be Florence. And then if there's a little circle with an R in the middle, that means that there's a reservation necessary. In the busy season, which I would say May through September, most of the major city connections are going to require a reservation. And even if it says it doesn't need one, you might want to go so far as to get one so that you get on the trains you want, because you don't want to be stuck waiting in the train station unnecessarily. And you can even book those reservations online ahead of time after you've purchased your rail pass. You'll get a little code that you go in, log back in, identify your rail pass code, and then the reservation lists come up, and then you pick the trains that you're going to be a part of by either train number or departure city, and then you go ahead and book the reservation. Then those will come in the mail, and you'll get a ticket as well. And then so you'll get this packet in the mail with your main rail pass and all of your reservation tickets as well. And then once you get to Italy, like Chris mentioned, you have to, unfortunately, wait in a bit of a line. So give yourself ample time. I'd say if you're leaving at noon, I would say get to the train station no later than 10 a.m. to make sure that you can get in the line, wait in line, get kicked out of one line and put into another line in case that happens, to get your initial stamp. You'll have to sign the ticket, date the ticket, and then they'll put the stamp on it, which activates your rail pass. And then each subsequent day that you use it, you have to sign the date of the day of your trip. And let's say it's a four-day rail pass. There's going to be four open slots, and all you do is write the date that you're actually you know, utilizing the rail pass for that day. Now, the good thing is you can use that rail pass all day, every day. You're not tied to just one trip, so it's active for the full 24 hours of the day of your travel. So you can make all your connections and do everything that you need to do with that rail pass as it's active. Now, keep in mind some of the bigger cities, like I mentioned, if you're going from Rome to Florence, Florence to Milan, Milan to Venice, even Genoa, depending if you're heading out to the Amalfi Coast, and Naples, those are relatively busy train segments. So you have to be very, very careful not to end up on the train without a reservation, because some of those seats are taken by reservation. So a couple different things to point out, I think, about the Italian rail system. It isn't typically on time, however, they have been getting a little bit better the past couple of years. With that, you'll be able to know. There's signs everywhere throughout the station. They've got digital signs. They've got those cool little signs that they make a noise when they roll over and click to kind of post what's going on. And to get a sense of all this, you can visit my website at unabellavista.com/radioshow. And I've got a video that I took the past couple of trips that I've compiled that walks through everything we're talking about and describes in detail what you're going to see, what you're going to experience at the train station, what the signs read, and kind of go through, and I describe what it reads in Italian, and I translate it to English for you. Although it's very, very easy, and there's plenty of people in uniform that you can speak to at any time to ask questions. With that, before I get into the sign, a couple of safety tips. You have to be careful. Unfortunately, Italy is not a dangerous country, but you will be a target for pickpockets if you look like you don't know what you're doing. So just act, even if you don't know what's going on, walk around with the air and confidence that you do, and you're less of a mark. Like, and make sure that you keep your bags zipped tight, and like if you have your backpack on, rather than have both zippers from the sides meet up at the top, I'd say zip both of the zippers down onto one side or the other, because it's harder then to kind of unzip the bag and pull something out. And believe me, if you think that won't happen, I have seen it happen. I've seen it happen in Italy. I've seen it happen in France. I've seen people get pickpocketed looking at the Eiffel Tower. I mean, I've seen lots of things that you would expect wouldn't be able to happen. So just be careful and cautious. And with that, I think that you'd be in good shape. And I guess the other piece, spread your money around a little bit. Don't put all your money in your wallet in your back pocket. Maybe spread it around between yourself and whoever you're traveling with. Keep a little in your backpack. Your credit card's split up a little bit in case you do get nailed. It's not going to be detrimental to the rest of your trip. I guess with that, I'm going to get into a little bit about the trains and how to read the signs. They're pretty straightforward. Destinazione in Italian just means destination, so that just means what city you're off to. Then they're going to have category, and that really isn't too important. It just tells you what category or class the train is. Then ore, it's spelled O-R-E. That just means hour or time. And then on the sign, you'll see something in it. I guess it's spelled R-I-T. It's short for ritardo, which means late. And that'll actually give you the number of minutes the train is running late. And then finally, in one of the more important categories on the train listings, is bin, and that means binario, which means line. And that will tell you exactly what line or what number your train's coming in and departing from, so that you make sure if you're going to Florence on a particular train with a reservation, to make sure that you can identify the train you're supposed to be on by the train number, the city it's going to, and then you just head off to the binario where your train will be departing. So let me take a little sip of water here. I've been talking a lot. Sorry about that. So actually, let's get into a little bit of the fun stuff here. Last time I was in Italy, Kristen and me were heading from Rome to Naples, and about halfway down, there were riots in Italy over, I guess, some funding for the academic system or something. So there were literally riots in Rome, riots in Florence, riots in Naples. And halfway down to Naples, give or take, they just stopped the train midway and literally said, all right, everybody off. And we didn't understand why, so I asked a few people, and the only thing I got out of it was they had closed the Naples train station, which is Napoli Centrale, which is it's a pretty big hub if you're heading down to the Amalfi Coast, or you want to go see Pompeii, or you want to see Herculaneum. So and that's what we were off to do. We were off to Sorrento. And so we just literally had to get off the train. So you have to make the most of it. I mean, things like that are probably going to happen. Doesn't always happen. But if it does, make the most of it. We found a cool little cafe, drank a little espresso, had some Prosecco, a little bit to eat. And then about 4 or 5 hours later, we were able to get back on the train and get down to Sorrento. So keep in mind, it is a vacation, and these kind of things happen all the time. I mean, I don't know how likely it is in Germany, but this kind of stuff in Italy does happen quite a bit. So just be prepared. Have a little fun with it. Don't get too anxious and enjoy yourself. Even if you don't speak much Italian or know Italian at all, you will be able to find people that do, and specifically at the train stations, they're usually wearing the green jackets. It looks like they just won the Masters. And they're the ones you can ask, and they'll give you the tips and the information that you need. So just kind of be on the lookout for that. Then, Chris, you'd mentioned earlier that you gave the police that credit card. Well, something similar happened to me on this last trip. I was walking around looking at the departure sign for, you know, where we were going and, you know, what Venati or what line the train was coming in. And as you know, that often they don't post that till 5 minutes before departure time. So don't freak out if you don't see it. You have to just wait it out. And then when it does come up, it doesn't change. It stays the same. So then you can head over. So you are sitting there waiting to find out which line or what track number that my train was going to come in at. And all of a sudden, I got tapped by two gentlemen on the shoulder. I turned around, and they asked me in Italian, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm waiting for the train. Where are you going? And they started asking me all these questions. And next thing was, let me see your passport. I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not giving you my passport. I don't know who you are. So then he got a little huffy, and they said, well, let's go in this room. I'm like, fine. You know, I'm not giving you my passport. And I just figured I was getting set up for something, you know. So we're back in this room, and they're like, who are you traveling with? And I said, my girlfriend, Kristen. Where's she at? Well, she's waiting on the train line or on the track. So we had to go back and get her, and it turned out that there were some pickpockets around stealing bags, and I guess I was marked as somebody who may have ripped off a bag or something. I'm not sure what happened. But about 15 minutes in, I pretended I didn't speak any Italian at all, so I could just figure out what was going on, and that kind of like the dumb traveler, if you will. And next thing you know, everything was fine. They literally ran mine and Kristen's passport through the system, and it turned out that at least nothing of none of my past showed up on the record in Italy anyway. So they let us go, but just be prepared for that kind of stuff. I mean, you never know what's happening, but a lot of times those kind of things are setups, if you will, for people to pickpocket you or do things that you're not going to be too pleased with. So it's okay to say no, but be polite, like I did, and then things usually turn out fine if you didn't do anything. Now, if you're on pickpocketing people, you're probably going to get nailed because they've got cops undercover all over the place, which I don't recommend. What about that, Chris? I mean, in terms of some safety at some of the major stations, any tips you could recommend for the listeners? We've got about 3 minutes left for this segment.
Well, I think that that's a great point because you're making them take you to the room is what everybody should do. So, for instance, there is a scam in Rome of supposed plain clothes policemen coming up and saying to the tourist police and kind of trying to levy a fine on unsuspecting tourists. So if that does happen to any of your listeners, what they need to do is they need to make sure that they're taken to somewhere official, because in every train station there will be a police station, and make sure that everything is processed there. Because I've heard of that happening actually quite frequently in terms of the tourist police scam. And then also, backing on what you said earlier about the pickpockets, it's not only pickpocketing. Don't leave your bag. You
right. Mentioned
the
That's
video.
Your point.
So you can just turn your back for a minute or just walk off and ask someone for directions, and you'll come back and they will have taken everything.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something else to be aware of.
Yeah, and I think that lends itself well. Traveling light is important because you don't want to leave a stack of luggage like Diana Ross in the middle of the train station, because you'll come back and it will be gone, or at least some of the more important bits like your video camera bag and your camera bag and things like that. So that's a really good point, actually. A couple other signs, I think, that you have to pay attention when you're traveling. I think this is true for all of Europe, but in Italy specifically, WC is the toilet, the bathroom. So, and sometimes you'll even have to pay anywhere from like 1 euro or 50 cents, I guess, 50 euro, or 0.5 euro, whatever. They'll have a little attendant in there. So you paid to open up the door to get in. And sometimes that's not bad because that means the bathroom is clean, it's well kept. And some of the major train stations will have that. Not necessarily Rome, but some of the major connection cities like in Siena and in Chiusi, which is a major connection line where you're heading up from Rome to get to Siena is Chiusi, or you'd be connecting there anyway. So that's something to look forward to. And then the other one is sottopassaggio, and that just means underpass. And there are plenty of underpasses to get around from the train station. So when you buy your ticket, you walk towards the tracks, and you'll often see a sign that just reads sottopassaggio, and that just means underpass. So you're going to walk down the stairs with your bags. And again, packing light is good because you don't want to make 14 trips to get your steamer trunk and your birdcage with you on the train as you head up to Florence. So what you'll do, you go under, you wait up on the track, on the number, and they're all well-numbered. And there are monitors around to let you know what's on time and what track it's going to be coming in on. And then you're good to go. And then finally, I think biglietteria is just the ticket office. And I think that that's something that most of us have to we'll be using, and you'll get stamps like Chris mentioned before. And then there's one other sign, and I'll say it in Italian, and then I'll tell you what it means in English. It's vietato attraversare I binari servizi del sottopassaggio, and that just means don't cross the tracks, use the underpass, and you'll see them everywhere. And one time I did make the fatal mistake. I had to go, this is maybe a little off note here, but I had to go to the bathroom. I didn't feel like going all the way through the underpass, so I ran across the tracks in Siena to get into the train station pretty quickly from line 2. And sure enough, there the police were. They picked me up and threatened to give me a ticket. He didn't. But so they are looking. So just be careful not to go over the tracks.
So, Tony, how do you say you might as well just rent a car in Italian?
We'll get to that in our segment next. And we're off to the break. Chris, it's always a pleasure talking to you, buddy, and we'll talk for next week. And we're now coming up with Jonathan Goldsmith of Spaconopoli. Ciao.
Thanks, Anthony. Bye.
Bye.
If you love travel, imagine visiting one of the world's greatest cities and exploring it as very few ever have. Only Context Travel makes it possible. Context Travel offers in-depth walking seminars for intellectually curious travelers like you. It's your chance to experience a city as a cultural experience, unlike any traditional tour. Context Travel is a network of architects, historians, and art historians. They feature small groups of 6 or less, led by PhD-level scholars, with walks lasting from 3 hours to a full day. You can book a Context tour in 7 great cities: New York, Paris, London, Rome, Florence, Venice, Naples, or Istanbul. Context Travel offers concierge services, art and archaeology walks, cuisine walks, shopping walks, and more. Visit us online at contexttravel.com. That's contexttravel.com. That's contexttravel.com.